Good morning, everybody. In honour of Alpha Sunday, I wear red. Somebody did suggest during the week that I dress like a question mark, but I didn't have time to do that. Where's John Mina? John, you have still got a few hours. If you want to do that for later, that would be appreciated. As well as being Alpha Sunday, we're following through on the sermon series about the Great Commission. And today we're looking at all people. So the reading that ties in with that is from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 38. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism that John proclaimed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Now, I think that in order to kind of understand what's happening in that part of the reading, we need to look a wee bit further back in the passage. So it's a bit like that bit's a bit like the middle of the sandwich. And I think to get a handle and to hold on to what it's trying to say to us, we need to look at the bit that comes before and a wee tiny bit of the bit that comes afterwards. Because it almost feels like we've walked in the middle of something and Peter starts to speak. And I think we need to think going way back, well, who is Peter and who's he speaking to? And Peter was a fisherman. He was a Jew, and he'd been called away from his nets by Jesus. There's lots of stories about him in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and in the book of Acts, where we read that he's now a leader in the early church. And because Peter was a Jew, he would have been brought up to believe that if he mixed with other sorts of people, his faith would have been contaminated. That goes right back to the story that runs through the Old Testament. That's the bit of the Bible that tells us what happened before Jesus came. And it's the story of how God was longing for a nation that he could live in the middle of a people group that would know him and love him, and that the joy and the privilege of that would overflow from them, and that other nations would be drawn to that people group, to Israel, and they would see the glory of God shining out from Israel. Now, as we read how history plays out, we realize things didn't quite work out like that. The Jewish people kept getting it wrong. They kept not trusting in God, and they kept forgetting the things that God had said to them. And they also found it incredibly difficult to keep the rules and the guidelines that they were supposed to live by. But for the main part, the devout Jews, the really committed ones, would have tried. And Peter, as a Jew, would also have been trying to keep all the rules, or the law, as it was known. All of his life, he would have been told and trained to believe that everybody else outside of his Jewish group were less than, they were lacking something. But Peter had met Jesus and was following him, and that had changed everything. Now, the fact that he was staying in the home of a man called Simon, it tells us a bit further back, who was a tanner who worked with animal skins, that would have been a big no-no to the Jews. So that shows that Peter wasn't strictly sticking to every single thing that he would have been taught growing up. And our reading begins by telling us that Peter opens his mouth and he begins to speak. Now, who's Peter speaking to? Well, he's speaking to a group of people gathered in the home of a man called Cornelius. And we read a wee bit further back that Cornelius was a Roman centurion. That means he was in charge of groups of soldiers, which was keeping rule for the Roman Empire at that time. And they were keeping forces in Israel. Cornelius, even though he was one of the Romans, a Gentile, not a Jew, believed in God. He gave to the poor. He did lots of good things for others, and he prayed. And Cornelius would have known about Jesus and the things that Jesus did because he lived in Caesarea, which was on the coast between Judea and Galilee, where Jesus spent a lot of his time. In the earlier bit we read about Cornelius, we're told that God saw him and saw his efforts. But Cornelius' efforts to be a good and upright man were not enough to bring him close to God. Cornelius needs to meet Peter. He needs to hear something important that Peter has to say. And we'll come to that in a moment, because that's where our reading begins today. But Cornelius believes in God. He does lots of good things. He prays. And yet God, in effect, is saying to Cornelius, this is not enough. We're not okay. Cornelius, you need something else. You need change in your life that you don't yet know about. You need somebody who will explain to you who Jesus is. And that's what Peter would do when they met. And how did they ever get together, these people from such different backgrounds? Because their beliefs would have kept them apart. Well, God brought that meeting together through some very supernatural things. And we read that at the beginning of chapter 10, that Peter's hungry and he's also praying. And God chooses to communicate with Peter in that moment, not with words, but in a moving picture, or some people call it a vision. Peter saw something that was different than what he could actually see in the physical world around him. He saw a large sheet being lowered down from heaven, and all mixed together inside it were different animals. Now, according to the Jewish laws, some of those animals would have been okay to eat, but a lot of them wouldn't have been. They would have been considered unclean. And Peter's horrified when he hears the voice of God telling him that it's okay to eat what's on the sheet. Because according to the rules Peter had been accustomed to, that wouldn't have been allowed. So it's a bit like a giant picnic. Only all the things that you love to eat are mixed together with all the things that would horrify you, that would disgust you. I remember when I was working in South America years ago, being served a meal one night, and it was all on the one big plate. And there was things that we would be used eating, like pieces of steak and just ordinary cuts of meat. But together on the same plate and all mixed up were brains and intestines and cow's udder and all sorts of things that we would never consider eating in our culture. And three times God has to tell Peter that it's okay, that those things are clean. See, sometimes it's not that difficult to stick with the traditions that we've been brought up with. It's not that difficult to stay separate from what we think is not like us. It's often more difficult or more offensive to us to have to consider mixing together in that mix of things. And we might recognize ourselves in that to some degree this morning. Looking around the room today, there's lots of people who've done Alpha. And for those of you who have, you'll recognize this, which I have with me, because it usually makes an appearance week one if you end up in my group. And it's a bag of randoms. It's just a bag of sweets, but they're all different shapes and sizes and colors and tastes. And, you know, we do something with that bag. You'll have to come Tuesday. You want to know what it actually is. But, you know, we are a bit like a big bag of randoms. And at the beginning of Alpha, you're mixing together with all sorts of people that you might never have thought you would. But by week three or four, it feels like you've known each other for ages. And by the end of the Alpha course, most people are very bonded together and want to keep in touch. And you know, God can still use any way he chooses today to speak to us, to communicate with us. And he often does, because he's not like us. He's supernatural. And when God showed Peter this picture, Peter understood it to mean that if he was now to live according to how God saw all people, he'd have to make changes and spend time with people who were different to him, and to share with them the love of Jesus that he'd discovered. You see, up until this time, faith in Jesus had not yet burst outside of the Jewish boundaries into the other people groups. And as Peter's thinking about this, God tells him a bit more. And he says that it'll be okay for him to go with the men who are about to come to his house and ask him to go with them to see a man called Cornelius. Because God's also been speaking to somebody else. Cornelius has always been having the other half of the conversation in a different place. But Peter and Cornelius are hearing the one voice. They're hearing the voice of God, saying essentially the same thing to both of them. Cornelius has also had an experience of God speaking to him, but this time through an angel. And for the sake of time, I can't go into all the details of that, but you can read about it at the very beginning of Acts 10. Cornelius is told to send people to get Peter and bring him back to his house so that he can hear what Peter has to say. And you might be sitting there thinking, well, that's all a bit wild. Visions and angels and all sorts of things going on. Do you know, God's shown to meet with people in the Bible in all sorts of different ways. And there's over 220 references, because I have checked, to people meeting God through visions and dreams and pictures and those kinds of things in the Bible. And he still does that today, because he's outside of our normal. And there's so many stories that I could share about that, but I'm just going to tell you one. A couple of us were helping another church with their Alpha Day Away a few months back. And as we were about to pray with people, we were sharing some of the things we felt God might specifically be saying to that room of people. There was maybe about 25 people in the room. I knew maybe one or two of them, so I hadn't met any of the others before. But as we were sharing things, one of the things I shared, it was just a name that had come into my head, and it was a shortened form of quite a common name. But in its short form, it's not one that you would hear very often. And also, at that time, I suddenly remembered a dream I'd had the night before. Now, it wasn't a dream where lots of things happened in. It was just a little snapshot. And in that dream, I could see it was a picture of some lights. It was almost like lights you would find in a theater or hanging from a stage setting. There was four lights in a row. And two of the lights were on and two of the lights were off. It didn't mean anything to me. I had no idea if it was going to mean anything to the people I shared it with. But I put it out there anyway, with several other things. And as we were praying with people, one lady said to me, as I was about to pray for her, something you said really, that was for me. And I said, well, would you like to tell me which one? And she said, well, it was two of them. She said, I have a family, there is my husband and I, two older teenage children, and we are involved with musical theater. We love to do the lighting and the sound. And she said, my husband and I have just separated. And I felt like when you shared that, God said to me that your children are the two lights that are still bright, but your husband and the lady herself were like the ones that had gone out. And she said, not only that, but see that strange, unusual name that you shared? That's his name. Now, I had no idea. And that's not because there's anything special about me. That's just because that's how God can speak to us today, because he loves us and he knows everything that's going on in our lives. And we were able to pray with that lady. She was really blessed. And actually, God did some healing work for her as well. The supernatural power of God changes our ordinary. Peter hasn't just had a supernatural experience, but he has had his thinking transformed as well. Because he's allowed change to happen. So he's now standing in the home of Cornelius, which he never would have done before. Peter and his Jewish friends suddenly find themselves with Cornelius and his Roman friends, and it's a bit like suddenly they're in the middle of the big sheet. And some of those people there might be looking in and maybe even respecting and honoring the traditions that are known, but still on the outside of faith and not really understanding what that's about. And maybe like some people here today, sort of standing in the doorway and looking in and seeing something, but maybe not yet sure what to think about it. Then we come to the best bit. This is like the filling in the sandwich, the bit that we've just read. Because Peter opens his mouth and he begins to speak, and this is what Peter tells them. This is what he shouts down through the ages, through the years to us today. He says that the Jews had indeed been God's chosen people, but not to the exclusion of others. Whoever we are, wherever we come from, whatever country or tradition, we are all invited. There's a place for each one of us at the Father's table. There's an open invitation to every single person. Verse 34 tells us there's no partiality among the nations. Verse 35 tells us we're accepted by fearing God and doing what is right. We can all be accepted by God, but not by our own efforts to be good enough. You see, Jesus tells us in John 6:29 that the work of God, the only work God wants from us is this, to believe in the one he has sent. That's the work we're called to do to get us close to God, to believe what Jesus has already done. And yes, there's lots of other work that comes out of that that we need to do, but it comes from the place of being made right with God through Jesus. And we can't work our way into that place. I had the privilege of being in Jerusalem for a week in June. And there I met several Jewish people in the course of that week who were still waiting for God to send them a rescuer. And you know, it actually moved my heart. I was heartbroken for the people that I met because they could not see that God had already sent them someone who would rescue them from their own situations. And at the airport on the way home, there's a few airport stories on the way home, but it's not that one, don't worry. In front of us in the queue, it was quite difficult getting through security. It took a long time to get through security in Tel Aviv airport. And by the time we eventually got to the check-in queue, which was moving like nowhere, everyone was tired. We were traveling through the night. Everyone was frustrated. And suddenly in front of us, a little family kind of came in. And there was someone in front of me who was annoyed about that and sort of commented that they'd cut into the queue. And then this lady, not realizing this lady spoke English, she was a Jewish lady, and she did speak perfect English. And she kind of said, look, I haven't cut in, I was sent here. And they were a wee bit embarrassed, so they started talking to the person beside them, which left me with the lady who was annoyed. But we started to chat, and her name was Miriam, and we shared a wee bit of what we were doing there, and she was seeing one of her grown-up children off to travel. But we talked about faith for a few minutes, and she said, well, I'm a Jew, but she said, I don't practice it because I can't keep all those rules. And I said, Miriam, that's why God sent Jesus, because he knew we couldn't keep the rules. He sent Jesus because that's the only way you're ever going to know him and you're going to be close to him. And at that stage then, I was moved into a different queue, so I had to leave her. But there is this impassable gulf between us and the most perfect loving God, just simply because we're born human and we're born with a broken relationship with God. And our best efforts can't ever bridge that gap. But the good news is that whilst our best efforts are never enough, Jesus is our enough. And what he did for us when he died on the cross and rose again is enough to make us right with God. And it's not just great news at the moment we believe that, but every day thereafter when he changes us to be more like him, it's great news. The last wee bit of the reading says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And Peter tells them a little bit of what that looked like, that at times it looked like people being healed or people being set free from darkness. And you know, he's still doing that sort of thing today. The Holy Spirit is still doing those things through us today. So many stories to do with Alpha. You're going to hear some of them tonight about people who've experienced God setting them free and healing them. Even the last Alpha day away, you know, we'd people being physically healed, and I'm conscious of time, so I can't tell you any of those. But what I can finish with is this. There is an invitation for each of us today. Firstly, to Alpha on Tuesday night. You'd be so welcome, because some of you might be looking in and wishing that you could get answers to some of the questions that you have. And Alpha's a great place to find answers. A lot of people find answers to their questions in Alpha. But sometimes people realize as well that actually they're not even looking so much for answers to their questions, but they're looking for peace. They're looking for peace. And they often find that in Alpha as well. Please come to Alpha. We'd love to see you there. And I genuinely think that it would be a great place to explore questions about faith. But for others, you're listening to this, and a wee bit later on in the reading, it's like the other bit of the sandwich. It says that the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And for some of you now, I think that maybe you're just starting to hear the voice of God today. And you don't actually need to wait to Tuesday night, because you know that Jesus is your enough and you need to be rescued by him. And if that's you today, then don't wait to Tuesday. You don't have to wait. You can just realize that now and let God work in you now. So I'm going to finish by just praying. And if you have never chosen that, if you would love Jesus to save you now and to rescue you now and to bring you close to God, because you're weary of trying to do life by yourself, then I'm going to pray now. And if that's you, if you just quietly agree with what is being prayed in your heart, God will hear you. If you mean it, God will hear you. And he will come into your life today, and he will make you right with him, and everything will change. So let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you that you sent Jesus to rescue us, because we can't do that for ourselves. So now, Lord, we come to you. We are sorry for the things that stand in our way of knowing you, the things that we are aware of and the things that we don't even know about. And we ask you now that you would come in and change our situation, that Jesus and everything that he has done for us would be our enough to bring us close to you. We pray that you will forgive us. And we thank you that you can make us new creations, that you make our lives different, you change us, and we ask that you fill us now by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.